today I'm dealing with the will of God, because I think that this is one of the most frustrating things in a believer's life sometimes to discern is the will of God. Because at times we can feel so high spiritually and we can feel that we have progressed so much that if we're not careful, we really will have difficulty when we have to make certain decisions about what God wants. I think God gets blamed for a lot of our messes. You know, it's kind of like the guy one time, they asked him to come down south and pastor a church, and he said, I need to pray about it, and turned to his wife and said, honey, you pack our bags while I'm praying. And that's the way we are with the will of God. We're like the fellow that had been on a diet and he was about to starve to death, like a lot of you since January 1. About now, it soaks in real good. You think, what did I do? And he had started this diet, and he loved coffee cake. There was a bakery in his area that had coffee cake that he absolutely loved. And he said, one day on my way to work, I thought, this diet can't be helping me this much. Surely the Lord wouldn't be displeased if I got some of that coffee cake. So he thought, I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll pray about it. And he said, Lord, if it's your will for me to have that coffee cake, you let there be a parking space right in front of the bakery. And he said, sure enough, the 17th time around the block, there was a place right there. That's the way we are with the will of God. We're like the man with the fork and stick that said, when he come to a fork in the road, he determined that stick would lead him everywhere. And he'd pray and throw the stick up. When he come to the fork in the road, he'd sometimes throw it up 3 or 4 times before he figured out what God wanted him to do in the right direction. And that's the way we are sometimes. We forget who is in control. We don't mean to be that way, but we are not really in control of our life. God is in control of our life. And the psalmist teaches us in Psalm 37, if you'll turn there. And again, I don't plan to keep you long, but if the Lord has other plans, we'll go with that too. But Psalm 37, beginning with verse 22. Because the key to the life of a believer is to be blessed in life, to know that we're blessed in life, that we're abiding in His will. And the happiest you'll ever be in your life is during the times that you know that you are in the will of God. In Psalm 37 and verse 22, for such as be blessed of Him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of Him shall be cut off. Now watch this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. The steps of a good man. Now he's not talking about gender here. He's talking about all humanity. The steps of a good person is ordered by the Lord. That tells me, first of all, it's important that you see when it comes to God's will that God has a plan. To get on this stage, there's steps all around. Those steps did not build themselves. Somebody had to design them, make them to the right height, make them so they're accessible. Those steps were part of a plan to get on this platform. It's hard to get up, I don't know, probably close to 3 feet in height, I'm guessing. But it's hard to get up here without steps. You need some way to get from the floor to the stage. And somebody had to design those steps, put those steps in. And really what the psalmist is saying here, the will of God is really a path for me to trot in life. And the determining factor is that we understand God does not make the path up as we go. The steps of a good man, the plan was ordered by who? The Lord. God said, this doesn't have to do with you determining to me where I want you to be. I've already planned that out. I've already set that aside. This doesn't have one thing to do with your final destination. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to go to heaven. God wants you to serve Him. He says all of these steps that you come across, it doesn't have anything to do with the destination. I've already determined that before the steps were ever built. The steps are not there to try to sway God some way to determine you need to go here and go there. It's not some haphazard thing with God. He has a plan from the time you were in your mother's womb. He had already ordained you and saw you and had a purpose in your life. And God said, I'm trying to put it together in steps for you to get where you need to be. See, you thought all this time, the reason that you were praying is God's making it up as you go. And when you pray, you won't even make it up the way you want it to go. But the steps are ordered by the Lord. Nothing any more scary in life than somebody ordering for you. As we travel a lot in meetings, every now and then people want to take us out to eat. And the first thing they'll say is, I want to order for you. Hey. You don't get this big by listening to what others say you need to eat. I like what I like. I don't like what I don't like. You can tell by looking at me, I'm not a big salad eater. You can keep your mayonnaise. I call it horse slobber. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want somebody else ordering for me. But there's one thing that I have to allow somebody else to order for me. That's the will of God in my life. He dictates it. It doesn't have anything to do with what we want. He has the plan. See, what I'm trying to tell you is, He's already determined where we're going to wind up, where He wants us to wind up. It is getting us to a place where that we can grow, mature, be strengthened on the journey. That's what He's trying to do in our life. He's already got, eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. He's saying, I've already prepared what I want for your life. The question is, will you follow me one step at a time? It's His plan. But also there's a process to all of it. There is a purpose to all of it. When He designs the steps, the purpose is to prepare us for what He has. If we don't get prepared, then we wouldn't be able to handle the blessing even when He gave it to us. So He gives us these steps. And one thing about the steps, you can't go to the next step until you finish on the step that you're already on. And that's where we a lot of times try to get in a hurry. And I don't know how this will go over, but there's two or three things that I've got to say to you this morning. That's why the churches are in the mess that they're in America right now. Shortcuts. See, what's going to happen, you attend a church like this and people will say, you know, they've got enough people out there. What you ought to do, you ought to come to our church and you ought to let us give you a... I know people that they'll attend a church one time and they want to put them in as youth director. Sunday school super. Don't know anything about their doctrine. Don't know anything about their... Hey, you can think of me whatever you want. I don't believe God blesses messes like that. Just doesn't happen. It's going to get more quiet as we go along, but I'm talking about determining the will of God. A lot of people say, boy, I'd like to be at the place where that you're at. Well, it was a process to get to where I'm at. And it wasn't always a pleasant process, and it won't be a pleasant process for you. And the truth of the matter is, God's not finished with me yet. He's still working on me. And by the way, may I tell you this too? He's still working on you too. But one thing about it, until you get to one level and make sure that you're where you need to be on that level, He'll never let you go to the next level. Because He's saying this is a process. In everything, there is a process. It doesn't have to do with how convenient things are or how good you feel when you're at that place. See, when you're down here on the floor, you can run around all you want to run around. But when you start up those steps, it takes strength, it takes energy, it's narrow. You've got to follow the path of the step. You can't go any other way. If you're going to go higher, we sing the song, Lord, lead me to higher ground. But we have to understand if we're going to go higher, we have to take it one step at a time. It's a process. And a lot of people don't like that process. Jesus Himself, you remember what happened when He fed the multitude in John chapter 6? He fed the multitude, and right after He fed the multitude, immediately they came to Him and they wanted to crown Him king. He had fed the multitude, and He was King of kings and Lord of lords. So they want to crown Him king. What does Jesus do? he departs from them, goes to the mountain by himself. Why? They would have skipped the step. He said, I can't be crowned until first I'm crucified. He was crowned before he was crucified. That would have left us out of the picture. He said, my purpose is that I have come to say and seek out the lost and to save them of their sin. And he said, if I don't take care of that, then I'll defeat my purpose. Listen, you've got to know the purpose in life. It isn't about manipulation or controlling the will of God or making God fit into your plans the way you want to do it. It's about what God has for your life and saying, Lord, I'm going to take it one step at a time. And people don't like that. Because we live in such a man-manipulated world. Man controls this and controls that. Sets up things. Years ago, I had a preacher friend that he got his eye on a church. And he wanted that church more than anything. And really what he began to do was undermine the pastor. What he started to do, undermine the pastor. And he kept working. And I know a lot of preachers, they live in fear of that. Look right here. I don't live in fear of that. No, I fought that battle years ago. That's behind me. I'm steps beyond that now. If it's God's will for me to be here, I don't mean to scare you. God will kill you if you do something like that. And if it's God's will for me not to be here, God will kill me to get me out of the way. That's still working, isn't it? See, you don't like that kind of preaching today and don't like that kind of talk. The truth of the matter is, it is His plan and His purpose. But we think somehow we can manipulate. So He manipulated around. Finally, He got this church. He got His dream. And you know, since that time, He has spent His whole ministry being terrified that somebody else is going to do that to Him. You know the great thing about when God sets you where you're at? You don't have to worry about it. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying, dude, today. You don't have to worry about it. If the sun's shining, He's still God. If it's raining, He's still God. If it's cold, He's still God. If you have plenty, He's still God. If you don't have enough, He's still God. You just said, I'm glad that I'm on this way that leads me to higher ground. And this may be a part of the journey that I couldn't see ahead of time. But God saw it all, and He's in control. And I can trust Him and rely on Him. And this is just part of the journey. You can't spend your whole time trying to figure out how you can take control of it. You've got to spend your time figuring out the process that God's bringing you through. People hate the process because with every step, we're more of what He wants us to be. When we're in His will, every step that we take, we're more in tune with Him. Process. See, help me, Lord. The reason that a lot of people can be so haphazard in their life, they don't have much of a life to manage. The reason a lot of churches can be haphazard, they don't have much of a church to manage. The reason a lot of ministries can be haphazard, they don't have a lot of ministry to manage. But if you want to continue to go higher with God, then you've got to pray, Lord, You said to whom much is given, much is required. See, if you want this church to say stay exactly like it is, all we got to do is just keep doing what we're doing. But if we want to grow, we've got to find out ways that we can better ourselves. I'm not talking about changing doctrine, changing conviction. I'm talking about better ourselves to be more efficiently than what we were. Through time, I've watched how ministry has changed. You know, people, they stand amazed. They say, you know, you have a meeting like the Jubilee. How do you get those meetings through? How does that happen? Well, one thing is, through time we change. We started with an agenda. We got the business to the business. See, we didn't have time any longer just to sit around and talk about things. We had to talk specifically about what we were doing. And here in the church even, there's more. The church was a great church from the day it started. But there's more organization in the church. Now, someone said, describe Rubyville to me. I say, organized liberty. Amen. There's all the liberty of the Spirit you want, but there's no room for silliness. There's no room for taking up time to do anything less than glorify God and share His Word and share what God wants. See, if you do things away, for example, and there's nothing wrong with this, if you've got a church of 15 people, I'm not bashing a church with 15 people. I'm saying if you've got a church with 15 people, you're probably going to hear something like this. The preacher's going to get up and he's going to say, anybody got a song? Anybody got a testimony? Hey, look right here. I'm not asking y'all for a testimony. I mean, if it's on you of the Spirit, you'll give it. And if it's not on you of the Spirit, I don't want to hear it. Am I the only one that way? We're not here to kill time. I'm not here to hear about how bad of a week you've had and how tough that life is and how rough that life is. I know all those things exist. I'm sorry that your car broke down. I'm sorry that your battery was weak. I'm sorry you had to call AAA. I'm sorry about all of that. But I deal with that all week long. When I come in here, I don't come in here to tell you about my aches, my pains, my woes, my worries. I come in here to tell you this morning that in spite of all of that, I serve a great big God that has a plan in my life. And at the end of that plan is a glorious place called heaven. And yes, we go through that process, but through that process, God makes us better. Because there are steps, you need precaution. Now, I never understood this until I got bifocals. When I got bifocals, the most dangerous place I ever go is a place where there's steps. Am I the only one like that? If that step hits just right on, I know you can't see the lines, but trust me, these glasses are bifocals. And you can't see the line, but just because you can't see them doesn't mean that you don't see different out the top than you do the bottom. And if that hits just right on that line, any of you find yourself doing this, stumble. He's saying when you take each step, you better take it with caution. Be precautious in what you're doing. Come to Him and say, Lord, is that the right step to take? Is that what You want in my life? Is this going to better me and better the cause? Because Your end purpose of all of my life is that I can delight myself in the way of the Lord. And if I'm not going the way that You want me to go, and I'm not cautious in that, then Lord, You won't bless me for it. You have to be cautious in what you do. But by the way, if you do fall, verse 24 tells us, if you fall on that step, and he shall not be utterly cast down. You know what he's saying? He's not saying that to prove some deep doctrinal statement. He's saying, if you fall on that step, get up, dust yourself off, get enough strength to get up to the next step. He still cares for you. I'm sorry that you fail. I'm sorry that things happen. The worst thing in the world that you can do in your life is try to drag along with you every bad thing that ever happened on every step of your life. As you move forward, say, you know, I did wrong there. It's not always easy to know the next step to take. You think it'd be easy to know, but sometimes for whatever reason, we get so busy in life and the cares of life. I don't know why we do what we do, but we go through all of that and we're not always cautious. And when we do that, sure as the world, if you trip as a Christian, you'll do it on a step. It's where you'll trip up. It's where I'll trip up. But when we trip up, he's saying, the wrong is not the fact that you've fallen. The wrong is that you don't recognize you're not utterly cast down. You've fallen on that step, but God's there to help you and give you strength to get you back up and get you on your way again. Oh, and by the way, it's all about praise. See, when he said the steps, that meant God had a plan for me. The purpose was he wants me to delight in his way. He said there's a precaution. Though I fall, I'm not utterly cast down. But then the psalmist started thinking, you know, I once was young, but now I'm old. And I've looked this world over, and I've seen a lot of wicked people that never prospered, even after they'd fallen. But I can say this with all assurance. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, glory. I've said it before here, going into the temple, there are steps. And they had a song of praise to sing on each step. Yes, you're going to go through some things, and yes, it's going to be hard. But why do you go through those things and all the harshness, and why does God allow it? He said, because you'll never really adequately praise me until you look back and see what I have really brought you from. You cannot really praise God for your health until you've really, really been sick. You can't praise God for the food in your cupboards until you not know where your food's coming from. You can't praise God the way you ought to praise God for the money in your bank account until you look back and say, you know, there was a time when I couldn't meet my bills, but I know what the Lord said. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And each step that you take, you stop and praise him. Lord, I'm one step higher, one step closer, one step nearer my heavenly home. I'm not there yet, but each step of the journey, I'll stop and praise you as I go closer and closer and closer to my heavenly home. You know as well as what I did in life, the times in life, things that were hard forced me up another step. Seems so easy, doesn't it? Why do we make it so hard? Why? You know why? When I was 6 years old, I could run up and down steps all I wanted to. Never break a wind. Now, I can't tell you the services where people 80 years of age and even plus will come down to the bottom of the step. Sometimes when I start down, they still want to try to get up. And I watch them grab that handrail and they'll grab my hand and they'll give it everything they got to try to get up just one more step. Yes, we had a great year in this church. 720 souls saved. Yes, we had a great year in this church. Well beyond $1 million in giving. Well beyond that. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. But you know, I'm just wondering if some way, if we can get the energy and the strength this morning to determine His will for this year in our life, if maybe we couldn't just help one another and pull together and seek God and get up one more step. And God says, you know, next year, I've got 1,000 souls for you. Next year, there could be $2 million in offerings. The Lord says, I can give that to you now because you've proven I can trust you with it. You think God is interested in giving you things to hoard up for yourself and not be a blessing to others? I know there's that philosophy out there among preachers that all the money that comes in, you just keep it and you hold on to it. But this church knows better. I've lived in this community now for 30-some years, and you know better. I've lived in some of the smallest houses in this community. Back 19 years ago, God let us build a little house down the road. And I've got news for you. We're not interested in building a bigger one. I don't care what the liars say. We're not building a $3 million mansion up on the mountain for Pastor Cal. Pastor Cal wouldn't want it if you offered it to Him. I'm content with just exactly what God has given me. And most important of all, I am even more content with the fact that God is showering His blessings down and souls are being saved. And the more that God allows to pass into my hands, the more I allow God to send it right back out. And God keeps blessing and blessing. Why should He do more when He can't trust you with what He's already given you? I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So, Rowena, this week they're telling you they're going to take your eye out. You don't see with that eye anyway. You see with the eye of faith. And the Lord says one day you'll take the last step. And when you take the last step, you put your feet down on streets of gold. And you get a new body with new eyes and new strength. So let this body decay and go back to the dust from which it came. I've got something better at the end of the journey. So I'll delight myself in the way. Lord, it's not that I want this, but Lord, I'll praise you in spite of all of it, because I know that you still love me and you care for me and you're going to see me through every bit of it, and you're not going to leave me and you're not going to forsake me, but you're going to hold my hand every step of the way. I'm saying that in the middle of all of it, we can still praise God. I want to praise Him more in 2014 than I have my whole life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Some of you right now are seeking the will of God in your life, and here's your problem. You're trying to figure it out logically. I'm not saying that we close our mind and that we don't think, that we don't reason. I know all those things. But you know, what is it to God when we come to Him and say, yeah, but Lord, I've got this payment and I've got this bill and I've got this. What is that to a God that owns it all? To the one that says the earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. What is that? He said, do you trust me or don't you trust me? See, that's why you can't get to the next step. That's why some of you are stuck. Stuck on the same step because you're not willing to leave it behind when He takes you up. I know this church serves two or three purposes, I feel, beyond the most important, which is reaching the lost, preaching and teaching the gospel. Another purpose that we serve is that I feel that God has allowed us to be vessels of healing for people that are hurting. Whether it be through their church or through their ministry. Sometimes people come in from other churches and they're healed up and they get back to their ministry and they go on and they work for God. God has allowed us to do that and we are thankful for that. You'll not see people that leave this church and once they leave this church we say, thank God they're gone. They're still sons and daughters of our ministry. And we pray for them and pray God's blessings on them. And I think that's been proven this year. Brian and Lori Davis made a move down to Kentucky, but they're seeing souls saved. Every time I mention how many saved, you all act like that's how many got saved here in our last service. That's proof of it. We want God to bless these people. We don't want Him just to bless us, and we want Him to bless these that go out. But then there's others that you're trying to discern the will of God. Is this the place for me? If God leaves you here, leads you here, and leaves you here to work with us, can I ask one thing out of you? Leave your garbage from where you come from on the step below. Don't bring your trash in this church. I'm sorry somebody spoke ugly to you. I'm sorry someone didn't treat you right. But I can't do any of that, and that will turn, every one of you look right here, that will turn to the gall of bitterness. And you'll never do anything. Life is short, and what you do, you want to do it for the glory of God. And you want to touch lives for the glory of God. And that doesn't mean, I know we're living in a world now that, you know, it's just all-inclusive and permissiveness, and it's just, it's horrible the things that's going on. You can still stand for the right and love people. You can still preach the truth and love people. Because in the end, it is your actions that speak louder than your words. And by us allowing people to go on in their sin, I hear it constantly from churches and denominations. Well, you got to let up. You got to let up. People won't come. People don't want to hear it. People won't come. Look around this morning. We're in the middle of flu season. Look around you this morning. And by the way, I've got to tell you this before I close. Get ready. It's coming. Get ready. It's coming. What's coming? We're getting ready to explode with growth. It's coming. It's coming. People are sick and tired of fussing and fighting around. They're sick and tired of not being able to have a spirit of liberty to worship God. They're sick and tired of the games. They're sick and tired of people not caring about the lost, making it all about man and man's praise. They're just wanting to go to a place where He is lifted up high and mighty, and His train fills the temple. And the temple shakes in His presence. Now that means if we go to the next step, we've got to do some things. And it's going to be hard on some people. I looked at our ushers this morning. They're a good example. Our ushers do not usher the way they did when I came here years ago. They have stepped up to the plate. Would you agree? They go above and beyond the call of duty. They may not be perfect, but they do their best to make sure you're greeted when you come in. They do their best to make sure your needs are met. They do their best to be friendly to you when they receive your offering, to smile at you, to shake your hand, to let you know that you're here. They go out of their way. I don't know when I've ever been to a church that when I pull up in the parking lot that somebody's running out with umbrellas to visitors they've never seen to try to keep their head covered while they walk in. I've seen them busy as bees over this parking lot. That's changes that they've made. Improvements. That doesn't compromise your conviction. That proves your love. I have more to tell you, but I don't know if you can bear it right now. That means you can't pull a rabbit out of your hat. There's time when you don't hear from God and it's okay to wait. But there's other times you got to plan and you got to prepare. You got to be ready. That means that when you get ready, preacher, you don't wait on us to call you to preach. You be ready to preach before you get the call. See, you don't wait on someone to call on you to sing. You be ready to sing when you're called. You prepare yourself. You practice. You get ready. Teacher, you don't wait to see if you get elected. You don't wait until you become a teacher and say, I'm going to start attending church because that's not going to happen. You're going to have to attend before you get that place. Are you with me or not? That means you're going to have to look around for people visiting. We can't see them all. We can't get to all of them. We need you. It's coming. It's coming. Who's going to take another step?